You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
It's an honor to be with you today. God bless you. It's so good to be here back in Fort Worth at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I do want to say, I know Dr. Patterson tried to embarrass me a moment ago, but I want to say to him that I appreciate him more as the days go by. And I am honored to be in his presence and thank God for him. And am honored to be here. And Mrs. Patterson as well. Love them. And deeper every day. Once in a college linguistics class, a professor was doing what professors do, professing certain things. And he said, in the English language, a double negative makes a positive. But in Russian, a double negative is still a negative. But there is no language in which a double positive makes a negative. And from the back of the room, someone shouted, "Yeah, right." You'll catch that in just a minute. I am not a discouraged type person. I don't get discouraged easily. Honestly, why? I don't really know. I was not raised in the kind of home where one would have a positive attitude. But I'm not easily discouraged. But if I really allowed myself, as I look around today, to our culture, and yes, even to our churches, I could get discouraged. And I would probably have to use a double negative to describe much of that which I see. And it would not be a positive. We're in perilous days. And there is a word from our Lord for us today. You're going to be going to churches. You're going to be in a culture that is changing dramatically and rapidly. And there is a word from the Lord for you today. There's a word from the Lord for all of us today. For I will tell you, we do live in perilous days. Our primary passage for today is 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. But I want to begin by quoting one verse from the preceding book, 1 Timothy chapter 4. We will go to 2 Timothy 3, but let me just share one verse from 1 Timothy chapter 4, which says, the Spirit clearly says, Paul says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. We have been warned that in the latter days, things will change. I believe we are in latter days. I really believe we're in latter days. And if you think these are the words of an elderly man speaking because elderly men are always saying how things are going bad, I have preached this throughout my ministry. I believe we're in latter days. I am cognizant of the fact that there have always been violent days. There have always been immoral people in our culture. I'm understanding that. I've read history a great deal. But I have never seen such a systemic disregard for the way of God as that which we see today. At every level of culture, and yes, even in our churches, we are in perilous days. And so there is a word from God today that I want you to hear briefly. I'm not a long-winded preacher. Why? Because I stop when I run out of what I know. And that doesn't take me long. I know some preachers that keep on going long after they've run out of what they know. But I try to stop. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to these words. But mark this. Do you know what the Apostle Paul is saying? Take out your highlighter. And mark it, because it is muy importante. It's very important that you hear this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous. Does it get any worse? Without self-control, brutal. Have you seen any examples of that recently on the news? Brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Acts of violence, brutality, and rashness and ungodliness no doubt appeared in the days of Jesus and Paul. We are aware of their presence throughout the Roman Empire, the Greek, and other empires. We know in our world today, however, that there is a systemic degradation of behavior. There is a cultural affirmation and support of all things contrary to the love of God. We are in perilous days. The evil is deeper. The intensity is greater. Is it just that there are more people today? No. Is it just that news reporting has reached such a sophisticated level that they can report on things better than that which we used to see? Or no, it's not just that. I do believe we are in the last days. We see now an evil that is perpetrated by our society and has permeated our society and even into our churches. And we are in a state of rebellion. Many years ago, a woman came up to me and she said, "Dr. Page, do you believe God has removed his hand from America?" I said, "No, ma'am, I do not. I believe he has taken his hand of blessing and now he's put his hand of judgment upon us." God help us. Three quick things. I want you to see a word about our culture. I want you to see a word about our cover, the cover. And I want you to see the command. First of all, a word about our culture. Look at those first verses. You will see 18 differing characteristics. And I think if Paul had caught his breath, he might have added a few more. But the ones that are there are frightening in their description, but they are so relevant to that which we see happening in our world today. Now, the emphasis here is on love, but not a love for God, but a love for self, and a love for things, and a love for that which is contrary to God. Now, listen carefully to me. The heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. The heart of every problem is, can I get a witness for that, is a problem of the heart. You see, we know God commands us to love Him supremely. But this is a description of a culture that has rejected God and loves ourselves supremely. One writer some years ago said, we should worship God, love people, and use things. But we're now in a day and time where we love ourselves. And when that happens, we worship ourselves and use people. We are to worship God, love people, and use things. But we have gotten it all mixed up and we're loving the wrong thing and worshiping the wrong thing and using the wrong thing. We're worshiping ourselves, loving the wrong thing. This leads to being boastful. It leads to being proud. It leads to being abusive. And so Paul here in a powerful, powerful passage preaches about that which is happening. Look and see quickly. We won't look into every one of them in detail. But he says people become lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They become boastful, they become proud, they become abusive. And then he sees this terrible degeneration of cultural mores go even into the family itself. And Mrs. Patterson and I have talked about this over and over. And we must, as a people, we must, as a denomination, as a people of God, be strongly involved in promoting a biblical view of the family. But this shows a degeneration where there's a disobedience even to the parents. Now, we know that's natural. You don't have to teach a child have to do wrong. They just come by it real natural. Some children, like I was, came by it seemingly more natural than others. I told a church the other day, I shouldn't tell these things. I should not tell these things. It just comes out, Dr. Patterson. But when I was a little kid, I was probably 4 or 5 years old. I was shooting a gun in the house. It didn't shoot anything. It just made an obnoxious noise. And my mama, being my mama, said, "Boy, you shoot that thing one more time, I'm going to slap you down." Do you know what I did, Dr. Sanchez? I put it right between her eyes and went, boom! Did I know what she was going to do? Oh, yes, I knew. But the look on her face of incredulity was well worth it. Did she knock me down? Oh, yes, I went rolling across the floor several times. But it was worth it, I got to tell you. Well, sorry, I shouldn't tell these things. Sorry, Mama. Disobedient to parents, but it gets worse. How could it get worse? Ungrateful, unholy. And then it goes into verse 3, even gets worse. Without love. That means, it literally means without family affection. It's characterized by persons who are unforgiving, who are slanderous, who are without control. And then it goes even worse, brutal. This is a word picture of a wild animal that is tearing into the flesh of something else. Is this not what we see on the news today? No regard for human life. And we've seen it even recently in Texas, where abortion rights advocates are screaming for abortion without any legislative control. Who is standing up for the torn flesh of those little babies? Brutal. Untamed. Despising that which is good. Honoring that which is evil. You see, Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." I was on a CNN program a year or two ago, and my staff tried to prep me for it. And I said, "Don't worry, I understand what they want." And a lady person, anchor person, and I knew, I knew exactly, because I'd been in this. It's not my first rodeo. I was born at night, but not last night. I understand what they're looking for. She, in a very condescending tone, she said, "Frank," she said, "doesn't the Bible say, love thy neighbor?" Her name, first name was Carol. I said, "Yes, Carol, it does." I love it when they talk so condescending and quote scripture to us. "Okay, yes, it does, Carol." "Oh, Frank, does that mean that you're going to love your homosexual neighbor?" Now, I know what she wanted me to say. She wanted me to do some kind of diatribe against how God hates. She really wanted me to do that. And I love this because it was a live show. She could not stop it. I said, "Carol, yes, the Bible says that. And yes, Carol, I'm going to love my gay neighbors. Carol, you need to understand, I have 2 first cousins that are gay, and I love them with all my heart." She didn't know what to say. She started stuttering. She couldn't handle it. She thought I was going to say something harsh, and I said this, "But Carol, you know the worst form of love is to love somebody and not tell them the truth. You see, the Bible says certain things are right and certain things are wrong. It is not in my purview to change that which the Bible says. Yes, I love them and I will love them, but I will tell them the truth of what God says." You see, woe unto those who are going to call evil good and good evil. But verse 4 continues this sorry and sad list. Look at it with me quickly. It says there that these days will become treacherous and the people will become rash and conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Betraying one another, slandering one another. Rash means acting without thought or careful thought. Conceited describes those who are so puffed up with their own sense of importance that they really think they're more special than they really are. I tell every new president of the Southern Baptist Convention, because I once was one, you know, my biggest advice to you is don't believe the nice things people say about you. Don't start believing what that little crowd that follows you around tell you about yourself. Don't believe it. It's not true. But there is a conceitedness, a brashness, a harshness, a brutality. And friends, let me tell you something. That is not just our secular culture. We see these kinds of behaviors now in the family of God. In the church! I cannot tell you how many people I witnessed to, such as yesterday on the airplane coming here, of people who have just had it with the church because they have seen the cruelty of Christians. Oh, God, help us. Does that list make you sad? It does me. But before we just start pointing our pointy fingers and saying, look how bad our culture has gotten to be, and even pointing to our churches and saying, look how badly it is. And even this week I've seen a video over and over ad infinitum ad nauseum of a certain televangelist, wife of a certain televangelist, whose name I will not mention, but happens to be in Houston, Texas, who gave some of the most asinine comments I have ever heard from a human being in my life. Don't please God, please yourself. That's what 2 Timothy 3 is saying is wrong. Before it makes us sad to say, look what she said, look what churches are doing, look where our culture is, what about me? Have I allowed some of these characteristics to come into my personal life? God help me, yes. God help me, yes. Her culture has permeated and affected, and we have allowed it. So it's not just the culture of the church, it's also me. Is our walk and our talk consistent? Does that which we do publicly mirror that which we do privately? Do our children see us acting the same way we act when we preach on Sunday? Our culture is in trouble. Quickly, see how we cover it. The cover is found in the first part of verse 5. You see, if you think it couldn't get worse, it does. Because here Paul basically says, you need to understand, the people that I have just described are often considered religious. Because he says they have a form of godliness, but deny its power. This speaks to that which I've just said. Friends, we often play the game of cultural Christianity. And yes, Dr. Patterson has seen, and I've seen, we even have people coming to seminary who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof and have to get saved at seminary. You see, the sad cover is we cover our duplicity with religious speak and talk. And in the South particularly, we've learned how to say things and talk the talk and wear the clothes and live a certain kind of way, but covering the reality. And Jesus screamed, not kindly, but screamed at the Pharisees for being whitewashed sepulchres. You look real good on the outside, but inside, you smell bad. You're rotten inside. Friends, this is form without force. This is religion without reality. It is religion without relationship. Friends, we are often guilty of that which I said a couple of Sundays ago in some church wherever I was, that we're guilty of churchianity and not Christianity. Maintain the outward while the inside is devoid of godliness. The culture is not good. The cover is even worse. Quickly see the command. What shall we do? What shall we do? Well, the Bible says it in another way, in another place, and I shall come back to the latter part of verse 5. It says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent then and turn to God, and do works which give evidence of repentance, so that your sins may be blotted out, and so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The bottom line is repentance. The bottom line is repentance. I get angry letters sometimes. I know that shocks you, but your president probably has gotten a couple in his lifetime. And I get them regularly, and I got one yesterday from a dear man somewhere. I don't know, remember where his address was. And I always respond. And my staff says, you don't need to respond to all. Well, I do respond. And sometimes I'm kind and compassionate, and sometimes I'm less than kind or compassionate. And I wanted to say this time, I was kind in this one, though. I really was. I wanted to say, excuse me? He just went through this long thing of what's wrong with us and said, we need to repent. I said, well, that's only what I've been saying for 40 years. Yes, I agree with you, sir. Yes, we need to repent. Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord your God. Don't you want a time of refreshing in your heart today? It's available. It's available. Now the scripture says, denying its God, its power. Don't you want the power of God in your life today? You're going to be going into church plants. You're going to be pastoring churches. You're going to be on the mission field. You're going to be in counseling ministries. You're going to be in youth ministry. You're going to be in lots of kinds of worship ministries and all kinds of things. But the common denominator of everyone is you're going to be working with people. And you may think that you're going to avoid some of the difficulties because you're going in this ministry rather than this ministry. But newsflash, my friends. Even if you think naively and ridiculously that you're going to go into a church plan and it's all going to be wonderful, those lost people bring baggage to church with them. And they all have opinions about the way it's supposed to be, whether you think it or not. You may think you've got a brilliant blank slate. Okay, think that way. 6 months later, you'll say, oh, he was right. It's not going to be easy, but there's power available. And what does he say? Do not deny the power. A form of godliness, but denying its power. We can have that power. And he says, have nothing to do with him. And I believe that is not only an admonition to stay away from those who are dragging us down, but sometimes within our own selves, contrary to what that lady said on television, we should say no to ourselves. Repent. Deal with issues with seriousness. The Lord Jesus said, if thy right eye offends thee, pluck it out. If thy right hand offends thee, cut it off. Now we know, thank God, he was speaking metaphorically. Or we'd have a lot of one-eyed, one-armed Baptists running around here. But what he was saying was, you better deal with it seriously. In fact, apply surgical excision to that which does not belong in your life. So friends, we can look at the culture and how it's going straight to hell. And we can even look at our churches and say they're right behind it. But we need to start saying, okay, what about me? I've covered it with a form of godliness. But it's time to see the commands of Christ to repent. And to have nothing to do with that which is tearing us down and pulling us away from the power that is there to do a mighty work of God wherever it is. Whether it's in Madagascar, or it's in Mobile, or Memphis. God wants to do a mighty work. And so I challenge you, my friends, with me today, to do a time of spiritual introspection to say, Father, have I allowed culture to come into my own life with one of these 18 characteristics that frighten me? But God, have I ultimately allowed myself to have a form of godliness, denying its power? Oh God, may I repent today. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this word today. I pray, Lord, that it would be applied to my heart, to our hearts. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.